Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Listen back on the RTE Radio app.
With the dramatic increase in school absenteeism since the pandemic, a community organisation in Talla in Dublin has launched a toolkit to combat school avoidance. Developed by the Childhood Development Initiative, the free online toolkit includes resources for teachers and parents to support children and young people with school attendance. Our reporter Una Kelly has been speaking to people involved with this new toolkit. And Una, we heard last week about the chronic issue of absenteeism in schools now.
Yes, Sarah. Education Minister Helen McEntee called it hugely alarming, where far too many pupils are missing 20 or more days of school, and there's been a big increase in absenteeism since the pandemic. Dermot Looney is a homeschool community liaison officer in St Dominic's National School in Talla, and I asked him from his on-the-ground experience why he thinks there has been that big increase in school absences since the pandemic.
Well, we're looking at this through a mental health framework, through a prism of mental health and anxiety. I think there are certainly connections in with neurodiversity as well. So we have seen a mental health crisis amongst our young people. And we are seeing issues around technology that people are very much aware of. So there will be a lot of talk in society around this. School absenteeism in a broader sense and school absences have struggled to recover since COVID. The statistics are pretty stark in our area around here. We are seeing very high levels of children not coming to school. And part of that is school avoidance behaviours. There are other reasons for it as well.
But why do you think since COVID it's increased? Is it to do with more anxiety among young people? Was it to do with maybe if you have a sniffle, you don't go to school?
Yeah, so people's behaviours around coming to school have changed. There were issues around that health need. Habits changed as well. Parents became used, for example, to taking care of kids during their work day at home, learning to balance that. So there have been issues of, you know, changes of people's behaviours. And also we were telling kids for the first time during COVID not to come to school if they had that sniffle. And we would still say, you know, not to come if the child is sick. But the habits have changed. And I think something else that is very impactful on attendance is issues around technology. I think we've learned that a lot around staying up late, around lack of sleep. But the mental health crisis that is there is significantly impactful. It does impact, you know, I work in a primary school. We have children as young as, say, 5, 6, 7, who are struggling with addiction to technology, in essence, struggling to sleep. And that's having real effects on their school attendance and on the parents' ability to get them to school and for them to participate in school as well.
So it's Dermot Looney there. And the Child Development Initiative in Talla, Una, they say their toolkit can actually help tackle these school attendance issues.
Yes, so their toolkit is a free online resource. It's for teachers, parents and anyone else working with young people. And they say it can help address what they term emotionally based school avoidance. So it includes information on how to detect that, what it can look like and what to do when it's been identified. Marion Quinn is the CEO of the CDI and she told me more about how the toolkit has been implemented.
What we do with the schools here in Talla that we work with is that we provide training to the staff. So we actually help them to engage in it and we try to bring it to life for them. It is primarily about raising awareness, ensuring that people are tracking absenteeism. So not just if a child doesn't come to school, but if they leave early repeatedly, if they're complaining of feeling unwell and having a sore tummy repeatedly, they're the kinds of things that we need to be looking for. They're kind of an indication of potential school avoidance.
Is this approach different from what's happened in the past? And if so, how is it different?
I think we've become more sophisticated in our understanding of what's going on for children and young people. So we're not blaming the behaviour. We're trying to understand what's the cause of it. I think that's really important. It's also really important that we're not blaming parents. Parents can be very stressed and really at the end of their tether with, you know, if they've a young person that won't leave the bedroom, it's really, really stressful for the whole family. So the approach is kind of drawing on all the practice that has been proven to work, which is about putting the child at the centre, focusing on their needs, but also looking at what else is going on around the child and family and what other supports are needed. So it's a really holistic approach. That's what we're trying to offer.
That's Marion Quinn there from the Child Development Initiative. And Una, you've also been speaking to a parent about these strategies in the toolkit and how they've helped with the school avoidance issue.
Yes, Colin Monnelly is a father of two, and his son Leon, who's now 14, started having issues going to school when he was in fifth class. This was related to mental health issues. And Colin says this was very challenging to deal with, particularly in their own family circumstances. Colin is a lone parent and he was also doing shift work at the time. Now, Leon's issues with attendance continued into secondary school. By his second year of secondary school, he simply wasn't attending. Colm says at this stage he then called Tuzla himself to speak to an education welfare officer, and he said this was the turning point where things massively improved. The Childhood Development Initiative became involved and Leon's issues began to be addressed. Leon was then able to access therapy, and it was uncovered through this process that he should be put forward for a neurodiversity assessment. And Colm told me a bit more in detail about how the whole process worked and what the outcome was for their family. And when he refers to Michelle, he's talking about Michelle Collins from the Childhood Development Initiative.
First of all, Michelle met us to see what the issues were with the school. Then she would liaise with the school for us and then arrange a meeting so that we could sit and talk about the issues and see is there a resolution or an option. Michelle visited myself and Leon home two or three times to get, you know, give them options, first of all, to keep them going while we're waiting for meetings. So there was like pharoge, there was music lessons if he was interested in. So there's lots of things outside of school that she was trying to keep him going with so that he's interacting with other kids and not isolating. So that was really good till we got to sit with the school, because it took time to get to that point. And once we sat with them, and the really key part of this actually is that Leon was the centre of everything. While he was dealing with adults and teachers and stuff like that, he was the focal point. And that was one thing Michelle made really clear from the start, that he was the centre, that it was about his needs, and that at any time that he wasn't happy with something, he was to say, and he was to ask for what he felt. The first meeting with the school was brilliant, because Leon, we had time to prepare beforehand as to what Leon, you know, because I would say to Leon, you've got to really think about what you want in your future. Do you want to go to school? Where do you want to go? So we had a really good think about that. And when we went to the school, they had lots of options for him. Firstly, he had a voice. He was able to express where he was coming from. Secondly, they were able to give him lots of options for him to go away with, which he did. So we had about 2 months to go through that. And then it was him deciding, the next meeting was him deciding the outcome and which direction we can go. And it, any time that he wanted to change direction, if something wasn't working, if he decided, I want to go back to school now, all those options he previously had were on the table. At the moment now, he's in ALP, which is an alternative learning programme in Brookfield Community Centre. He's doing that twice a week. When he gets on to that full time, it'll be 3 days a week for 8 weeks, and then it'll be reviewed as to where does he go next and what other options are there for him.
And has his mental health seen an improvement as well?
Yeah, the beauty about everything that has happened is Leon is talking to adults and they treat him like they're on the same level. That has been really beautiful. Michelle treating him that way. And he's not treated like a child. He's not pampered in a sense. He's asked a question. His opinion is respected and there's feedback on that. And it's the same with Mark up in the Alternative Learning Programme. Leon feels that he's dealt with on a certain level. He's not talked down to, which seems to be really, really important for him.
And that is Colin Monnelly finishing that report from Una Kelly.